News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So, Copper, my caller hung on the line during the break there? That's great. Okay, great.
Yes, he did.
Let me go to line two then and talk to Patrick from Shoals, who hung on during the break. Patrick, thanks for hanging on, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Phil. Hey, you're a breath of fresh air, my friend. It's always good to hear somebody who's a moral and a physical conservative.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. Thank you so much. What's on your mind today? Yeah, what you got?
Those animals are few and far between. I find it amazing that the House and Senate in the state of Alabama receives the median equal to the median family income in the state of Alabama for a part-time job.
Well,
I really think that they should be paid exactly the same thing as someone who does jury duty.
Oh, wow. Well, I got to be honest with you, brother. Having done that job for 8 years, I can tell you, they call it part-time, but it ain't. My wife and I used to jokingly call it my full-time part-time job.
Everyone that I've talked to, Jamie Keel's our representative over on this side. He's awesome,
oh, yeah.
Dude. And I find out that he works a lot more than what I would think would be a full-time job. But you might want to explain this one little thing to Copper, will help her out.
What's that?
Politicians and government are like the fat little kid at the candy store. He's got his hand in every jar over there, and he's never going to take his hands out once he gets his hands in that cookie jar. That's just the analogy that fits best for the taxes, tax code, the way they, let's see, extrapolate money from those who work.
Well, I get it. I remember what's that thing called, a monkey trap, where they put like a nut in a jar, but the jar's got a narrow gap, and if the monkey reaches in and grabs the nut because he made a fist, he can't get his hand back out, but he won't let go of the nut, so his hand is now stuck in the jar. All right, Patrick,
put the nut in the jar.
That's a good point. All right, Patrick, man, thanks so much for hanging on during the break. We appreciate you. You stay in the audience, Right Side Ruffian. Copper, did you hear him? He's got a point there for you. What'd you just say on the board, though?
I said I try not to be a pessimist. I really do. And then people just confirm my worst and darkest fears.
Well, listen, if it's any consolation to you, I feel like there are some solid folks in Montgomery. Right now, I feel like in terms of being true conservatives, they're outnumbered. And there's some folks, too, that are not true conservatives who I love them as people, but nonetheless, I get frustrated with their politics. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's some good folks in office. I refuse to ever be, especially now that I've been down there, I cannot say they're all corrupt. I cannot say they're all, you know, on the take. I'm not doing it. Are there some who probably are? Yep. Do I know some who I think were? Yep. But nonetheless, there's still some good folks down there. We gotta bolster them up. We gotta send them some reinforcements. That's the thing. And they're going to have to, by the way, those few down there, those chosen few who are true conservatives and have hung on to their principles, they're going to have to start banding together and bowing up, because right now they're getting run over and I'm sick of it. So we're going to give you folks, all you legislators, anybody who hears me say this, this show and others like it will give you all the air cover you could possibly want. We will extol you as heroes to the general public if you will band together and fight the fight. Don't just go, well, not enough of us to get it done. Well, you know what? If seven of you band together in the Senate, they can't get around you. I'm serious. You can filibuster till the cows come home, and they will have to deal with you. When the day comes that our folks finally get together and caucus up and become a conservative policy caucus, I'm just saying, it's going to be a game changer for Alabama. All right, listen, that was a great call. I am going to switch gears now. Copper, start the new clock running. You ready? I'm going to switch gears now on the triple dipper. I'm calling this one a walk in Biden's world. A walk in Biden's world. I was looking at the level of world event news going on that is not Ukraine. And I'm going to have to start by touching on Ukraine, though, okay? I got to do it because it's, like I say, I keep saying, it's the biggest story of the decade. Right now, it's probably one of the biggest stories of the century, in some ways. A war in Eastern Europe, the basically it's force on force warfare. We're not talking about asymmetric unconventional warfare. We're talking about force on force. That's a big deal. We have not seen this level of conventional force movement since Desert Storm. Since the invasion of Iraq, Operation Iraqi Freedom, and that was what 20 years ago, almost 19 years ago. So, but let me do this though. I thought it would be important. Charlene and I were talking this morning, and she made mention, don't forget the human factor. And it's true. I need to incorporate some of that. And I'm going to have, by the way, I'm going to have my friend Chris May back on the show here pretty soon. He's literally helping to get aid to Ukrainians right now. But I don't want you to lose sight of, as you hear things about, you know, Zelensky speaking to Congress, as you hear about whether or not they can have MiG-29s for whether there's going to be a no-fly zone, what NATO is going to do? Are any NATO nations going to step outside of the bounds of NATO and just go and fight, or is everybody going to remain on the sidelines? Right now, the prevailing notion is that no, NATO is not going to get engaged in a foot war, but at least in a supply war. Well, in the meantime, though, the people of Ukraine, and I don't mean like a little bit, are suffering. There's Dmytro Kuleba. He's a Ukraine government official. He tweeted out this morning. He had a picture of a beautiful, kind of a grand theater building. And the picture right next to it is the building is gone. It's leveled. It's smoldering. It's a pile of rubble. Unconfirmed at this point, but he says another horrendous war crime in Mariupol, a massive Russian attack on what they call the drama theater, where hundreds of innocent civilians were hiding. He says the building is now fully ruined. Russians could not have not known this was a civilian shelter. He says, save Mariupol, stop the Russian war criminals. What he's saying there is that hundreds of Ukrainians were hiding inside this large theater building, and the Russians bombed it into oblivion. It's gone. You have to imagine the death toll being very high on something like that. But Ukraine's President Zelensky did speak to Congress this morning, and he chose to put the human factor into his speech. In the middle of his speech, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, according to a story here on Fox, played a video during his address to the U.S. Congress contrasting what life was like before the Russians got there to what it is now. He went from the once peaceful nation to the death and destruction, the suffering, and the impacts on children, the elderly, and other civilians since Vladimir Putin greenlit the invasion, all right? The video began, apparently, I haven't seen it, but I'm reading the report saying the video began with footage of daily life in Ukraine, you know, instrumentals playing, couples holding hands, walking in parks, and things like that. It took a dramatic turn that it switched to showing people out for walks and buildings exploding next to them, bombing and destruction in the capital city of Kyiv, images of happy children contrasted against crying ones. And then he went on to say, this is murder. So, there's a human factor at work here in Biden's world. And right now, we are not meeting the needs of that human factor very well. Now, some are saying that Zelensky's speech could have been seen as one of the most significant speeches to our Congress since 1941, when Winston Churchill flew over from England at the onset of the World War to speak to a joint session of Congress. In that speech in 1941, Churchill warned that those who would challenge the United Kingdom and the United States, he said, what kind of people do they think we are? Is it possible they do not realize that we shall never cease to persevere against them until they have been taught a lesson which they and the world will never forget? He went on to say that if wicked men didn't know that they will be called to terrible account if they cannot beat down by force of arms the people that they have assailed. That's pretty much the response that Zelensky's getting. But I've got a story here in National Review, dated yesterday. It's one that got Britt Hume and some others' attention on Twitter. Charlene forwarded it to me. And it literally ties in this whole human factor. The fact that there is a great deal of resistance, things that basically Russia didn't expect. And that Russia is pretty much alone in the world right now. And in fact, they make the comment in here, they've been kicked off the world to island. But then it talks about the images that we're seeing. Talked about the Ukrainian mother who appeared in a famous news photograph who is now dead. In the picture, she was carrying her child. And later on, their bodies were seen on the side of the road. Another one whose name we actually do know, Tatiana Parabinas, 43, and her children, Nikita, who was 18, and Elise, who was 9. They were killed running for their lives when they were fired on by Russian artillery. Their picture made international headlines as they lay dead on the street. The Wall Street Journal had a headline that says, "We are all Ukrainians now." The author of this National Review article that I'm looking at says, "No, we're not. We have no idea what it's like to live among that kind of thing." And he goes on to say, too, and I think this is a good point. He said, "What makes all this worse," the article says, "if it's possible, is that Russia, you've already lost in that what your government had hoped to achieve will not be achieved. There's not going to be much of a Ukraine left for Russia to take advantage of. There's going to be raw land and rubble. There will be some infrastructure. There will be some things that were spared the bombing. But right now, they're bombing the usable infrastructure into oblivion. Roads, bridges, power plants, municipal and governmental structures, airports, all of it is being leveled. And the people are in the middle of it all." And by the way, I'm going to tell you right now, as a former Army officer who spent time in two war zones, part of my job, aside from infantry and combat operations and the things that I've done over the years, was also what we call civil affairs. It was how to deal with the issue of civilians in the battlefield. We went to war as Americans with what was called a protected target list. You didn't go in and bomb a mosque. Unless you could tell there was definite enemy activity in it, you stayed away from certain protected sites, whether they be cultural or religious or governmental, things that people would need to be able to use later on, because those weren't war targets unless they were fighting from them. Now, did I do raids on some of those places in Baghdad? Certainly. When you get rocketed from a mosque, you have to go check it out. But the reality is we went there with the intent to preserve so the society could continue afterwards. The Russians are going there with the intent to destroy. And it's amazing to watch the level of destruction they're levying on just the people, trying to break the will. And I'm going to tell you right now, if they think they're going to roll in one day and be the conquering heroes, that moment has already passed. Russia is going to be standing by itself. And I'm hoping sometime soon, because when we're hearing right now, military experts are saying Russia has outplayed its ability. They have about 2 weeks left of the ability to supply the logistical aspects of this war effort, after which they can go ahead and just write it off. I don't know if it's true or not. We've had some bad intel before, but what we're hearing right now is key military analysts are saying Russia is exhausting its means. They've already committed their reserves. They hardly have anything left, and they're making very limited progress. But folks, I'm going to tell you, in the course of doing it, the soft targets are the people, and they're cutting them down like wheat in a field. Copper, take me to a break. I ran long on that one. When I come back, folks, I'm going to walk around the rest of the world because I've got stuff here in my hands that you're going to have to know. China? How about China with Taiwan? How about China and Afghanistan? What about the Iran nuclear deal? Why is Russia involved in that? What's happening with Iran blaming Israel for recent airstrikes? Or the fact that Biden is now looking at buying Venezuelan oil? Wow! We're going to take a walk around Biden's world coming up right after this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, you're hearing the ads right now for 1819 News. Listen, I know these folks. I use 1819 as a resource. Y'all know that I'm constantly rattling paper in the microphone because I resource the show early every morning to get assets I need for the show together. One of the sources that I've gotten to where I go to quite regularly is 1819 News. That's 1819news.com. They're a new site that came out last year. I'm affiliated with them because they are also affiliated with the Alabama Policy Institute. They give solid conservative perspectives. They literally write an unvarnished view of the news. And by the way, you can read their stuff and tell these folks actually love Alabama too. So they're not just giving you like the pessimistic view or the liberal skew. They're not doing that. They're not doing it at all. They're giving you straight facts, straight information about issues that involve our state. And oh, by the way, also telling you stuff about Alabama that you would just love to know because they love living here like we do. So check them out, 1819news.com. That's 1819news.com. I listen to them all the time, and I think they just need to know that you're out there hearing it through Right Side Radio and picking up on 1819 as one of those great resources you need to use yourself. Okay, hey, listen, moving on with that, I am in a section right now that I'm calling A Walk in Biden's World. There's so much happening right now. Have you noticed right now that it seems like all the bad actors have suddenly perked up? It's like, okay, they've been asleep. Who jerked them out of their sleep? Well, I'd say President Biden did. Right now, I would say that we are leading from behind in every category. We're leading from behind in terms of diplomatic relations. There are literally world leaders right now, we're being told, world leaders who are not picking up the phone when the President of the United States calls. Do you remember when Trump took office and he had, you know, the audacity to go to Jerusalem and to declare that we would now move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem? Shocked the world, and guess what? War did not break out in the Middle East. But you know what he did then? Then he went to Saudi Arabia. Do you remember the amazing state visit that he had to Saudi Arabia where they laid on pomp and circumstance? It was the first time that a U.S. president had been there in such a way to meet with the king and the family of Saud, and they literally laid it on thick. It was an open door for relations with Saudi Arabia that had not been there before, just around the same time he's dealing with Israel. And then the Abraham Accords, as one country after another in the Middle East began to sign up for a peace treaty with Israel and open full relations. It changed the Middle East. At the same time, we did not see the aggression that we are seeing now in Eastern Europe. Putin was on his heels. We also didn't see the overt instances of China trying to gain the upper hand. Now, were they trying? Certainly. They were building little islands in the South China Sea, claiming that their territory was expanding. But right now, we're seeing multiple combat plane incursions into Taiwanese airspace. Or what about Venezuela? Well, they were, you know, literally Maduro took over as a narco trafficker himself, I would think, and sanctions from the U.S. government put them in their place. And we stopped buying Venezuelan oil for the most part. We were also energy independent. And when world leaders got a phone call from the White House, they took the call. Well, I'm going to walk you through after this next break, because I ran long in the previous segment. But I'm going to walk you through in the next break what is happening in various countries around the world. How do they perceive the United States right now? I think what they see is an opportunity to do what they want to do without fear, with complete impunity, with the ability to either invade countries or become bad actors or get what they want out of negotiations that are one-sided in their favor and not ours, or upset the apple cart when it comes to international trade. It's amazing to watch. We're going to take a walk in Biden's world for a little while when I get back on more of these stories. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. You hang on. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Yeah, indeed. Just like the guy just said, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, I'm moving into this part of the Triple Dipper. I've been on it a little bit here, but we're calling it A Walk in Biden's World. I gave you a little bit in that of the human factor we're seeing right now in the war in Ukraine. By the way, just so you know, troop movements are still largely stalled. We're seeing sub-movement in and around portions of the front around the capital city of Kyiv. We're basically seeing devastation in other places, not the least of which is Mariupol, which is down in the southeast of the country. They still have not gotten to the point they can try and take Odessa, the port city down in the Black Sea in the southwestern part of the country. But it's amazing to watch the overall process. Other things are happening around the world, though. I mean, how about this one? Story from FoxNews.com dated this morning. There's a report out. A Christo Grosev, who is an investigative reporter in the Netherlands, got hold of what is allegedly an FSB intel summary. FSB being the Russian intelligence. All right. It's the successor agency to the KGB. All right. In this particular document, which he claims to have had vetted by former FSB contacts who know the author of it, this guy went on to say that the document shows, if it's true, that Xi Jinping of China was considering taking over Taiwan this fall because he needs his own victory because his own, you know, internal party politics are rocky. But that now the Ukrainian events, the window of opportunity has been closed, giving the United States now the opportunity to blackmail Xi and to negotiate with its competitors on favorable terms. What they're saying here is the Russians have done their invasion so poorly and the world has coalesced in a such an angry fashion. Even though we haven't put boots on the ground, the world opinion has not at all been quiet. Zelensky, I would say Zelensky's presence has really solidified world opinion. Well, this particular intel summary, if it's accurate, says that China had already laid on plans to invade Taiwan this year, but put them off because of the Ukraine invasion and the way in which it's gone. Okay, there's that. Here's another one, though. China again. Story off of hotair.com, dated 2 days ago. I knew this was happening. I'd seen it before, and now it's actually being reported. China moves to take over Afghanistan's copper and rare earth mineral mining. There you go. There you go. Well, the botched withdrawal last August was bound to leave a power vacuum. And sure enough, here we go. Shortly after our botched withdrawal, according to hotair.com, shortly after our botched withdrawal, one of the first developments that was noticed was the rapid entry of China into the country. Yeah, they did. They quickly restaffed. By the way, they quickly restaffed their embassy, and they established normalized relations with the new Taliban government. They did that like in no time. They also began offering relief money and humanitarian aid. Yes, they did. Now, China appears to have been playing the long game, according to this article, because this week they struck a deal with the Taliban to begin mining one of the richest copper deposits in the world. Says Afghanistan's other mineral assets will also be on the shopping list. Here's one for you. I knew this. Rare earth minerals. Rare earth minerals are so necessary in the form in the development of things like batteries and microchips and things like that. Rare earth minerals. Apparently, Afghanistan has one of the largest untapped deposits of lithium in the world. In the world. And that is going to be a huge deal as some nations are being, you know, pushed. United States, being pushed towards green energy. Well, guess who's going to own basically the rights to most of what it takes to make the batteries for green energy like EV, electric vehicles? That's right, China. All right, next, as we walk around Biden's world, BBC reporting as of this morning. BBC reporting North Korea fired another missile, but its launch failed. All right, so South Korea reporting that the North Koreans fired an unknown projectile which appeared to fail immediately after launch and went into the Sea of Japan. It was fired from an airfield outside of the capital of Pyongyang. The thing you need to know about this, though, this is an escalation. What we're looking at is the fact that North Korea has carried out 9 weapons tests so far this year. 9. They had put an actual moratorium under the Trump administration. This article points out from the BBC. Under the Trump administration, North Korea had placed a moratorium on testing any long-range ballistic missiles. So far, they've done 9 just this year during the Biden administration, including what the U.S. claims were testing parts of a new ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile. And by the way, to be classified as an ICBM, it has to have a range of 3,400 miles, which can reach the United States. That's big doings. I will tell you this, though. In a minute, I'm going to talk about the fact that Russia is in the Iran nuclear talks. Why are they an intermediary? Why is that a thing? Well, it is. Because it's Biden's world. Let me jump on a phone call real quick. Line 4, Clay from Madison. Hey, Clay, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing today?
Ian, I presume.
I'm doing well, sir. How about you?
Pretty good. Hey, you know, a lot of what goes on in politics is respect. And if you don't have respect, then you don't have action. And we can see that in things like, I mean, yeah, generals are in war, but people respected General Patton, and they respected each other of Rommel. You know, they were challenging each other, but they respected the power and intelligence and tactics of each other. People respected Kennedy. He went toe-to-toe with Khrushchev. People respected Reagan because he went toe-to-toe with Gorbachev. Nobody respects Biden. You can look at the world atmosphere of politics. Nobody respects Biden. And so we lose politically automatically because he has no respect.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hearing Clay right now. There's reports out there that some world leaders, Middle East, I think is where it was, are not even taking his phone call when he calls them. That's an amazing thing.
So no matter what aspect you're in, if you run a corporation, if you run a country, if you run the military, the leader has to have respect. And unfortunately, we've lost it.
Well, I agree with you, Clay. Great call, man. Good summary. And you're right. I think that's one of the reasons why I said a moment ago that President Zelensky has found so much favor in the world's eyes, because they respect the positions that he's taking and the hardline stance and the fact that he is standing there with his people in Kyiv. That's a big deal. Leadership is respected. And respected leadership is respected. Hey, I'm going to go grab another call real quick. Line 5, Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing today, man?
Mighty fine. I hope you are, too.
And I am good, sir.
Excellent. As far as what you're talking about, copper and rare earth metals, well, China, the UK gave Hong Kong to China under certain restrictions. China already broke all those. And China owns a huge mine, one of the biggest ones in the United States and the only one active ones for rare earth metals and copper, and not our favorite producer there, copper, but the actual metal. Why can't... Let's just go take it.
You know what? It's not like that hadn't happened to us. We've had U.S. Oil industry assets nationalized in Venezuela before, but I don't know, man. It's amazing to me that we let them remove from our shores the things that we need to go overseas to be developed into things that then we have trouble getting back.
Indeed.
Yeah,
and while we're at it, how about if we very politely and correctly and hopefully by the law take back some of the land that we have given the United States government that they used to control us?
It's amazing how much land the U.S. government does control, and then that's what gives the Biden administration the ability to limit our oil and gas exploration, because if it's on federal lands, they control the flow. No pun intended. But Brian, great call, man. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it very much. You stay in the audience. We appreciate your call every single time. Listen, a walk in Biden's world. One more thing that I'll point out before the next break is this. Let's take a step into the Jerusalem Post, all right? Storyline dated yesterday. Here's something you may not have heard. I had to dig around to see what's going on with Iran and Israel. Iran blames Israel for destroying hundreds of Iranian drones. What? Yes. Jerusalem Post reporting as of yesterday, the latest explosive exchanges between Israel and Iran may relate to Israel having destroyed hundreds of Iranian drones just last month, according to a mix of Israeli and Lebanese reports. It says neither country even mentioned the reported attack on a critical base in western Iran until earlier this week, when it was first reported by the Lebanese television station Al-Mayadeen, which is linked to Hezbollah and Iran. Tehran blames Israel. Jerusalem has not taken responsibility. So basically, apparently what we had was a drone base where they were manufacturing and employing these potentially armed drones. And Israel, allegedly, we don't know for a fact, but it does have all the earmarkings of a classic Israeli exercise here, took it out and destroyed hundreds of Iranian drones. That happened just last month, just being reported as of yesterday by the Jerusalem Post. All right, I'm going to walk a little more around Biden's world when we get back from this. Did you know that Russia is helping us negotiate another awful deal with Iran? Why? Or how about this? What about war profiteering? Venezuelan oil? Is that war profiteering? Wow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, going to wrap up number 2 of the Triple Dipper, A Walk in Biden's World. You hang tight. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, I got to tell you, I'm still getting over the fact that last Thursday night we had the opportunity to get together with so many Right Side ruffians over up on the mountain at the event we had with the Alabama Policy Institute. That was just a great night, a beautiful night, and just thank you to so many of you who came out. We had like somewhere around 135 or so people there, just a night to celebrate conservatism, to be together, to have some good food, and then I spoke that evening on the question of liberty, looking at it from both historical perspective and where we go now and how do we preserve it. So anyway, great night. Thank you to all of you who were there that night, and we'll have future events, and I'm hoping to meet more of my ruffians out there sometime in the near future. So listen, wrapping up this section on a walk in Biden's world. Yes, Ukraine's going on. Yes, Russia felt emboldened to attack under the Biden administration. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's more than that. I just gave you things like China is now embedded in Afghanistan mining rare earth materials. Situation is worse when you consider that China, the reports are that China may have been contemplating invading Taiwan, but is currently unsure of what to do because of the way that the Ukraine situation is going. You also have other issues going on in the world news, like conflicts sort of on the silent, on the QT, if you will, between Israel and Iran. Well, just other things that are happening right now. So, wow. Chris from Madison just sent me this. Saudi Arabia and China, he says, just signed an agreement to conduct commerce using the Chinese yuan. That's their currency, as opposed to the U.S. dollar, as their foundational currency. He says the European Economic Council is also potentially working on an agreement to establish a second global reserve currency with the Chinese yuan. This would significantly hurt the U.S. economy due to foreign exchange costs we don't currently have as the reserve currency. Wow. Yeah. And he ended by saying the world that Biden is creating is going to hurt American consumers. Chris from Madison, you are so right. That would be an amazing thing. It's happening in Biden's world. Other story off the Wall Street Journal today, actually dated yesterday. Russia softens Iran demands, reopening the way for the nuclear deal. All right, I just put a big question mark. When I highlighted parts of this article, the first thing I did was put a giant question mark. I have to ask, why is Russia sitting at the table with us in the Iran deal? Why is Russia acting as the mediator, if you will, between the United States as we deal with them and sanction them to oblivion? Why are we allowing them to help guide one of the most awkward foreign policy negotiations in the history of the United States? Well, here it is. Russia earlier this month had demanded guarantees from Washington, that its economic ties with Iran would not be affected by Western sanctions. What they're saying there is, hey, you know, we're over here helping you, even though we're killing people in Ukraine and being sanctioned by you. And we want to work with Iran, that other bad actor, the one that we know we're not supposed to work with. So we just need to know, as we help you in your nuclear deal that you want desperately, Mr. Biden, you know, the really bad deal that Trump got rid of because it was so awful. We really want to know that our ties to Iran are not going to be negatively affected. Oh, how dare they demand anything right now? Why are they sitting at the table? I mean, what about a mixed signal here, folks? Well, here's the last piece in this segment on A Walk in Biden's World. Wall Street Journal again, dated 2 days ago. Biden eyes Venezuelan oil. Yeah. Said it's harder to understand why the Biden administration would rush to help the oil industry and its bankers at the expense of the long-suffering Venezuelan people. But that seems to be where we're headed. Copper, go ahead and tell our caller, by the way, to hold till after the break, because I'm not going to be able to get to him before we hit this break. So tell him to please either hang on or call right back. But listen, here's the bottom line for this story that I'm talking about from the Wall Street Journal. Oil investors like Chevron and others are seeing right now that there are joint venture operations in Venezuela are being hurt by sanctions. And all of a sudden, in the middle of America is no longer energy independent, even though America has the ability to turn on that tap with pretty short, you know, fuse, we're suddenly looking down south to a nation whose human rights and their records of imprisonment and torture and extrajudicial killings are awful. 5 million Venezuelans have fled that country. Many are living in poverty. We have them on a sanctions list. But suddenly, rather than drill for our own, we're looking at going saying, hey, President Maduro, we can like you more if you'll give us some of your oil. Yep, there you go. Lots of things to walk around and see in Biden's world. And it ain't all pretty. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. I'm going to switch gears. I'm going to go into a series of, you know, better news stories coming up next. I'm calling this News Side Items. You want some fries with that? That's what I'm calling it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.